Greetings to you in the most holy name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who loved us so much and gave himself for us. I'm sorry I'm very much late for the service. Really seek your forgiveness. Let us turn to John's Gospel chapter 3, verses 1 to 8. We will read responsively. First verse I'll read, and next verse carefully read for yourself. Now there was a man of Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of Jewish ruling council. The second verse. Third verse. In reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Fourth verse, we all read together, please. Fifth verse. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Sixth verse. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. Let us look to the Lord for his grace. Loving, gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, praise you for the time of fellowship that you have granted unto us. As a little flock, we are gathered together in your name, Lord. Lord, speak to our hearts. It is Father's desire to give us the kingdom of God. Lord, help us that we may see you, that we may understand you, that we may cleave to you more and more. Lord, help us, Lord. Hide me behind your cross. Put your words in my mouth. Surround this whole place with the angels. Lord, we invite your presence. Speak to every one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. See, the first verse, 3:1. Now there was a man of Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of Jewish ruling council. See, the verse starts with now. That means we have some beginning to it. And the beginning is chapter 2, chapter 1. And Pat has taught us chapter 4, first chapter 1. And Ken has taught us chapter 2. And the most fundamental things in chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And the Word was with God. See, book of John, when I was reading, it is a mine of theological substance. See, we cannot understand with our human hearts. The Word was with God and the Word was God. I think it takes a lifetime to understand this kind of a theological statement. And Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We have to very carefully understand. Unless Spirit of God guides you, you will not have this kind of an understanding. But our blessed Lord has given us this wonderful provision to understand like babes. See, John has seen Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God that taketh away sin of the whole world. And Jesus Christ, on the second chapter, when the Passover is getting ready, he hurried himself to go to Jerusalem. Some of the important things, we have seen how the time frame, the next day, on the third day, how things have happened. Even in the wedding, we have clearly seen that Jesus' mother said, do whatever he says to the disciples. So when the work was accomplished as per the instructions of Jesus Christ, when they have drawn the water from that stone vessels, it became wine. The same old water, but they did it according to the instruction of Jesus Christ. Things have altogether changed. And see, last time when Ken was sharing, God instituted the marriage in the Garden of Eden. And again, the first miracle, and God did it to bring a joy and happiness in the marriage. And also one wonderful thing is that Jesus Christ and his disciples were invited to the marriage event. Beloved of the Lord, see, for any work in our marriages, the Jesus Christ and his disciples, when they must have to be invited. That's my understanding. See, chapter 2, verse 2. And Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. See, when that is happening, we can see some altogether sea change, different, a godly manner, and everything will be taking place. And see, the book of John does not specify most of the miracles that Jesus Christ has done. But the author of this book, he ended with one verse saying that, let us read all together, please. Chapter 21, verse 25. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. Can you just visualize that? The whole world would not be sufficient. See, when I was a young boy, when I was learning computers, 256 kilobytes of RAM was very much sufficient to run my program. See, now people are using 32 GB of RAM, big terabytes. All that data is getting inserted into one small chip. If all the works that had been done by Jesus Christ, even today, I suppose, even if you insert into the small chips, the whole world would not be sufficient. He said, let there be earth, and there was earth. Let there be light, there was light. To how the light was created, if you write books, if you write things, yes, your life will not be sufficient. And all the data that you collect, you store it, that can grow into huge piles. See, that suddenly he went to Jerusalem, and he had seen how things are happening in Jerusalem. He cleansed the temple. See, people are making merchandise of the temple. So by observing Passover, they thought they can become religious. Okay, by sitting in the temple and selling doves, cattle, they thought they are doing some kind of a service. Thereby they can attain some righteousness. Thereby they can be pious in God's sight. They thought that way. They have altogether messed up the whole situation there in Jerusalem. When Jesus Christ went there, to my great surprise, he made only the whip out of cords. And he did not take all his disciples to throw all the people out. I don't know how he, just when he went, things gone helter-skelter. People ran away. See, that for me, that is the biggest miracle. It's a one man fighting, one man throwing away everybody there. And he was doing a lot of miracles there. And some people believed on that. Understand things, how things are happening. See, verse 23. Now while he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many people saw the miraculous signs he was doing and believed in his name. But Jesus would not entrust himself to them, but knew all men. He did not need man's testimony about man, for he knew what was in man. See, when Jesus Christ was performing miracles, many people believed. Just by seeing his miracles, people believed. But Jesus Christ, he did not entrust themselves. He did not believe them. That means it is like, okay, if I am healed, I will believe in God. Okay, if I am, my problems are taken away, if God takes away my problems, I believe in God. Do we accept that? Can we go to the Lord this kind of a faith? No. Jesus said, he did not entrust himself with this kind of people. For he knew what exactly is in their minds. They wanted God to do miracles in their lives. But they don't want to submit themselves to God. This was the situation there. At that particular time, in the midst of all things, because Jesus Christ was doing a lot of miracles and he became big, much more famous. Because in the capital, it happened. Once anything happens in the capital, this immediately the news will go to the entire country. That's how it has happened. Now, there was a man of Pharisee named Nicodemus, a member of Jewish council, ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God. And for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with you. See, the author, John, he took up a good example, a high profile gentleman, the high profile educated ruling council of Jewish guy. And he has aptly put that his context for us. See, people were just like that. Let us read Romans chapter 3, 10 to 12. And it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. See, this kind of a situation they are into. See, they wanted to, just by observing the rituals, they wanted to attain the kingdom of God. They wanted to enter into the kingdom of God. They wanted to be seen righteous before God. See, that is what is, according to the Bible, self-righteousness. That God should impute righteousness on ourselves. You have to be wearing Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has to be in us. That what makes the righteousness. We all lost our way. That means there is a God's way to go to the Zion. There is a God's way to attain salvation. There is a God's way to reach him. Come unto me. There is a way for him. There is a different way, which is stipulated in his word. But people have gone away. People wanted to do on their own. They don't even understand what exactly Jesus Christ was doing. they want him to do the miracles, then we say, they say that they will believe in him. At that particular point, God has brought in a very crystal clear message to us through Nicodemus. Yes, he was a Pharisee. At the time, at the Jesus Christ time, the time of our Lord, they were very popular party, the popular group. They are very good in observing laws. They are very good in maintaining the rituals, kind of a thing. They are seed of Abraham. They are people. They are Jewish people. They know, they have the commandments in their hands. They know the statutes of the Lord. They know how to observe feasts. They all know, they all well versed with the scriptures. And oftentimes, in the ministry of Jesus Christ, he ridiculed them, he rebuked them openly. From the beginning of Jesus Christ's ministry, these Pharisees were deliberately opposite. They were persistent enemies to Jesus Christ. Because they are clinging to the rituals. But Jesus Christ and John the Baptist, they were telling a different thing. Repent ye, the kingdom of God is at hand. Confess your sins and be baptized. And how last the first chapter we have seen, John the Baptist, he was the son of a priest and he was a prophet. The both offices he was holding. Yet when he was questioned, who are you? He did not even say. He was named by God, the angel of God, John shall be his name. Even mother wrote it, father, mother wrote it exactly the same. Even that John name, he is hiding. No, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. I am here to prepare the way of the Lord. To that extent, he humbled and preached the gospel for the remission of our sins. Be baptized. Upon that, what Jesus, he came. Oh, John the Baptist was doing something, telling, he's baptizing. And Jesus Christ, he has come and he's changing water into wine and he's cleansing the temple. What is happening? The ruler of the Jewish council, very learned man and a very religiously minded man, and he came to Jesus Christ at night. See, we can talk many things on Jesus, on Nicodemus, why he came to Jesus Christ in the night. We can speculate, we can talk many things. See, the Nicodemus name, meaning of the name of Nicodemus is victory of the people. See, how much, what kind of status he must be carrying when walking around. Hey, the people must be. That's the reason why he must have been elevated so much. Hey Nicodemus, you are the victory of the people. Your name, as your name says, be our leader, be our counselor, be our a leader. We will follow you. That kind of a clan maybe he is having. That's the reason why he is a member of the Jewish council and a leader and a ruler. And he came to Jesus at night. Beloved, see, when it is good thing. It's a good thing to come to Jesus Christ, whether it is a night or whether it is a daytime. So Nicodemus, maybe he's a very good businessman. He did not like to disturb Jesus Christ when he was doing miracles in the daytime, when he was preaching. Okay, let me take some good time with Jesus Christ and let me go to him in the night. Maybe he thought that way. But he, from his religious rituals, from his knowledge, from the, he overcome all his barriers, religious barriers, and he wanted to have the personal conversation with the Lord. See, If you read the book of Malachi, chapter 2, verse 7, let's read Malachi chapter 2. It is the last book of Old Testament. 2:7. For the lips of a priest ought to preserve knowledge, and from his mouth men should seek instruction, because he is the messenger of the Lord Almighty. It is a good thing to go to the Lord. It is a good thing to go to a priest, so that he, on his lips or in his mouth, there are instruction. Whatever he says, beloved of the Lord, this is good thing. See, whenever, as a church, if you have any problem, we have to go to the elders. We have to go to the pastor. They will give you the instruction. If you are struck with some other thing, if you are unable to take any kind of a decision, it is better to go to the elders of the church. It's better to go to the pastor of the church. See, the same thing, he knows. He knows he went to Jesus Christ in the night, so that he wanted to see the knowledge. He wanted to listen to his knowledge, and he wanted to see the instruction, because he thought, he understood that he is the messenger of God. And let us read what he was saying. Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him. First thing, Jesus Christ, whosoever comes to him, he will no wise cast them away. He received Nicodemus the same way in the further Gospels, because it's the beginning of his ministry. In the further, if you see, the same way he received a leper, the same way he received blind people, the same way he received many mad people, lame people, same way he received. He only wanted their intent and the heart's desire. What it is. When Nicodemus came to him, yes, he entertained. Yes, let's talk. There, he said, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God. This is what his interpretation, this is what his heart says. His heart says that he knows that he is from the Lord. And he knows that he is doing a miracle. We know you are a teacher who has come from God. His assertion, thou art a teacher, come from the God. And the assurance of it, what he says, we know, we have verified your miraculous signs. They were not at all counterfeit. No one can do these things except God be with you. That means, when Jesus Christ was doing these miracles, some of the Jewish councils, they completely went back. And how could he come do this kind of miraculous things? They found it's not a counterfeit. They found it is really he is doing from the God. And he is the real messenger of God. With that understanding, with that real understanding, he said, it's kind of a lip service he is doing. His heart is somewhere else, but his mouth is somewhere else. Lord, come from the Lord. You are a teacher, came from the Lord. And we know no one can do this kind of a miraculous science except God be with you. But at that time, Jesus Christ, he did not even question him. He was not even asking, Lord, what shall I do? What kind of a thing I should do? This kind of thing he was not asking. But one good thing, Nicodemus, he was looking for the desires of his heart. Okay, he wanted to grow in the Lord. He wanted to exactly see what exactly he would say for his life. Then immediately Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. the excellent word of God. He's born again. Born again is a symbol. See, I did not do anything for me to be born. I did not do anything for me to be born. See, this is an excellent example. You have to be born again. You need not to do anything, Nicodemus, but you trust in the Lord. You become born again. You let the whole things go away. All your understanding, let it go away. Be born again. Become a new creature and understand things in a new way. That's what that I teach you. I tell you the truth. What is the truth? Up to that time, don't they know the truth? Don't they know the scriptures? They know it already. But here, I tell you the truth. Let that lie go away from you, guys. The truth is something that establishes very clearly the lie. The false things will be established by the truth. That is the power. Truth will not be changed. That's the reason why Jesus said, "Hey, Nicodemus, I tell you the truth. You must be born again. Unless no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." First of all, beloved of the Lord, see, we all wanted to enter into the kingdom of God. Unless you see the kingdom of God, no. You will not have the pleasure of entering into the kingdom of God. First of all, you have to see how the kingdom of God looks like far away. Then you will be understanding. Yes, then there will be an internal desire to get inside of the kingdom of God. See, it is like you won't buy things unless you see. See, it is kind of you see first, then you will be attracted, and then you will get inside. That's what one by one, Jesus Christ laying the foundation of being born again. See, he said, see, you cannot see the kingdom of God unless you are born again. Beloved of the Lord, see, being born again has got many things, many spiritual meanings in that. See, first of all, see, we have to, it's a kind of a renewing our minds. It's kind of, see, what Jesus Christ said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. The first, the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, the first thing is you have to seek the kingdom of God. Seek the kingdom of God. How it looks like, how it is being built, how it is being formed, how people are entering into it. See, if a natural man cannot enter into the kingdom of God, period. With this nature, with this understanding of the scriptures, with these rules you follow, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You must have to be born again. You have to be like a babe. You have to be washed. You have to be altogether transformed. Transformed in the likeness and the worthiness that is required to enter into the kingdom of God. That's what he's telling. The new birth is not a reformation of a old nature. It is the creative act of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God will convict you of your sins. Only then, okay, Lord, forgive me. I made a mistake over here. See, that is the thing we needed over there. And the condition of new birth is faith in Christ crucified. He can only save me from my sins. Jesus, he is his name. For he shall save his people from their sins. That's what we read it in Matthew's Gospel. See, people are, you are a God, you are a teacher from God. And you have the characteristics of the God. Lord, forgive me. Nicodemus, he was not saying that. He is addressing him, you are from the God, you have the characteristics of the God, and see where I am standing. If anything is wrong with me, Lord, forgive. I know a book of Isaiah, I know book of Ezekiel, I know everything there, but I think my sins are becoming barrier, Lord, between you and me. Forgive me. That approach is not, he is not there. Lord, anything is wickedness in my heart, forgive me. Examine my heart, search my heart. He is not telling. You are from the Lord, you are a teacher, you have godly characters, you are not doing any counterfeit, miraculous things. But he is not seeing that, he is not recognizing him as a Lord. See, God in Jesus Christ, in step by step, he is telling, be born again. Be born again. See, beloved of the Lord, see, whenever we come to the Jesus Christ, whenever we come to his presence, see, you will understand how great he is. How great, compassionate God he is. And how worst sinner I am. You will have this kind of understanding. You will fall on your knees before God. Lord, forgive me. If you understand Jesus Christ, and if you are coming into his presence, these are the first things you will understand. You will see him as a great, high God, and you expect created by him. Unless you repent, you cannot reach. This kind of a thing you will have. See, that's what, when we look into Luke chapter, the thief on the cross. See, he did not, he said, he was also beginning, he was also ridiculing Jesus Christ. If you are a God, save yourself and save us. But when people are beating him, when people are putting clubbing on his side, when he was not saying anything, when he was saying, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they do. When such kind of a patience when Jesus Christ was exhibiting, then suddenly he realized, Lord, when thou comest in your kingdom, remember me. The simple thing he asked. He immediately repented. He immediately considered Jesus Christ, he is never dying God. Jesus Christ, he will come again. Though he dies, he will yet live. He will be living. He will come back in his kingdom. He will establish his kingdom. He is dying for my sins. In that split of a second, he understood everything. Jesus Christ did not preach him anything. That kind of an understanding he has come to. When we come to the presence of the Lord, when we come to him, when we read, when we ponder upon his word, when we read his word, these are the things we'll be knowing. These are the things the word of God will talk to us. Repent, be born again. Come to a new nature. Then you have to be born again by the water and by the Spirit. Then only you can enter into the kingdom of God. Then he says, how can a man be born when he is old? Nicodemus asked. Surely he cannot enter the second time into the mother's womb, to be born. See, here again, he is coming, counter-questioning Jesus Christ with his works of righteousness. This is the kind of a works. Hey, how can I again enter into the kingdom of God? How come I can again enter into my mother's womb? That's what plainly he has asked. He wanted to add the God's plan, be born again, into his own additional things. How can this happen? Can he again enter into the mother's womb? Then again, Jesus, sixth verse, Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and of the Spirit. See here, in this 8 verses that we have read, many times Jesus Christ was emphasizing, be born again, be born again, be renewed to see the kingdom of God and to enter into the kingdom of God. Take away all your old things. This, by following rituals, maintaining the law, you will never be justified. You have the commandments, and you are the descendant of Abraham. That will not help you. He say you are following the circumcision. You know, that will not help. Circumcision, following of the law, and holding the genealogy from Abraham will not let you enter the kingdom of God. You have to repent of your sins. You have to be born again. You become a new creature, and all things passed it. See, let us see one example, small example of a caterpillar. See, when it was in the caterpillar stage, it looks very ugly to see, even to put it on your hand. And it is all the time eating, spoiling our fruit trees, spoiling our greens. But when it is going into the another stage, it becomes altogether a beautiful flying insect. You will admire seeing that, oh. But when you see the butterfly, can you imagine, oh, that time it was a caterpillar? See the change, a marvelous change. Once upon a time, unable to fly, crawling, spoiling all things. But there is a stage. All things passed away. Completely altogether became new. Now able to fly. Now the whole nature is not at all seen in the butterfly. So completely changed. Now that flying nature, it can get into any kind of a heights. Any kind of a thing the butterfly can get into. See, that is the thing. Altogether, see change. See, new life. God wanted us. Repenting of our sins. That's what Jesus Christ was telling to Nicodemus. Nicodemus, no. You following the rules and regulations of this, the law, will not fetch you. You cannot see. You cannot see the kingdom of God. How God is making it. Just by observing the Passover. Just by animal sacrifice. See, God has constituted. Yes, you repent. You put your hand on that animal. And then sacrifice. If you are just like that doing a ritual, it will be of no use. It is as good as any kind of a sinner in the world. This is what repent. And Jesus Christ, he was telling, you have to be born of water and of the Spirit. See, let us read Ezekiel chapter 36. Verses 25. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities, from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from your heart of stone and I give you heart of flesh. I will put my spirit in you and you move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. This is what the Lord says. See, you have to, He will be cleansing you from all our uncleanness, all our impurities, from all our idols. What is that idol? Anything that takes away God in your life is idol. Once that idol is removed, then you will be very much nearer to God. Once that, Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 25. Once that idol is removed from our hearts, then what is there? Then the God only will be our God. So once our impurities are cleaned, we'll be clean as snow. That's what Isaiah chapter 1 says. From top to bottom, we are filled with putrefying sores. There is no soundness in our body. Can we read Isaiah chapter 1? Six, from the sole of your foot to the top of your head, there is no soundness, only wounds and welts and open sores, not cleansed or bandaged, nor soothed with oil. This is our condition. But God, He makes us our as clean. Our sins will become, what is that? There is another verse, I forgot. Sorry for that. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. See, this is the transformation. This is the transformation when we come to the Lord. See, all our wounds, all our uncleanness, He will clean it. And he will take away the stony heart. That is a fundamental process. There is a process that is happening. He will take away the stony heart and He will put the heart of flesh. He will dwell in us. That is a wonderful thing. He will dwell in us and we will become His people. That kind of a close relationship. That we will be a fit and worthy, cleanse as a snow, white as snow. God is holy. He makes us holy. Then only we can be fit. Otherwise, there's no point. God has created Adam and Eve in His own image. He wanted to see the same characteristics in us, in order to enter into His kingdom. Sinless, innocent, pure, as white as snow. This is what? Only once you have that experience of being born again. Only once we have accepted He is the Lord who can save us from our sins. And He is a Messiah. He has that understanding. But to Nicodemus, he was telling Nicodemus, this is what steps. You must be born again. You must be cleansed outwardly and inwardly. See, if you are cleansed from within our heart, your outward things also will be like that. You will be follow the Spirit, so that you will not fulfill the lusts thereof. That's what Book of Galatians, Paul writes to Galatians. Follow the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust thereof. The old man will be dead. You will be altogether in you. That is only when we accept our sins. Only when we are putting all our faith that Jesus Christ came to die for our sins. He is the Lamb of God. Christ is our Passover. See, symbolically, God, John had clearly said it.
See, even if the ministry of Jesus Christ was counted on the basis of number of Passovers he participated in his ministry. 3.5 years, 4 Passovers he participated. That's how people have counted how many years Jesus Christ he did ministry. This is the simple thing. See, just by because God knows our heart, he clearly said he did not entrust himself to them. Because he knows what is in the man's heart. This is the kind of thing we are this is the kind of thing we are into. We know the Lord. We know what he is. How great he is, we know. We can also sing. Unless you come to that personal experience, you will not understand what he is making, what kind of kingdom he is forming, how we can enter into. Unless you are born again, Nicodemus, you cannot see, you cannot enter. You have to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. He understood. He again counter-questioned. First, he counter-questioned, Lord, how I can once again, second time, get into my mother's womb and be born again. He is adding some kind of works. No works. Come as it is. It is the work of God. He says, I will cleanse you. I will take away the stony heart. I will dwell in you. And you will be my people. I will be your God. And you will be holy as I am holy. See, this is the desire of God. He wanted to dwell among the people of his redeemed people. And that's the reason why he instructed Moses. In Exodus chapter 25, verse 8, he says, Moses, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. I wanted to be with them. I have redeemed them. Hey, I was just a pillar of light. In the night time, a pillar of cloud in the daytime. I was carrying all along my life on my eagle's wings. Now they have come to this place. I wanted to dwell in them. Let them make me a sanctuary. Beloved, his church, his body, a chaste virgin. Sanctuary, holy, unless we born again, unless we repent of our sins, unless we have peace with the God, you can't even see the kingdom of God. If you can't see the kingdom of God, can you blindly get inside to the kingdom of God? No. First step, be spiritual. Unless a natural man cannot see the spiritual things. That's what in the following things he will be telling. Hey, don't be surprised. Flesh gives birth to flesh. The Spirit gives birth to Spirit. Yes. It is not within the desires, the fleshly desires, you cannot discern the spiritual things. But the Spirit gives birth to Spirit. Once you are born of the Spirit. And that's what, in the first chapter itself, he laid that foundation. Chapter 1, verse 12. Yet all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. in the very beginning of our chapter 1, verse 12, he clearly stated, you have to be born of God. You have to be born of Spirit. The natural man cannot discern the spiritual things. If you go to Romans, that's what Paul speaks to them. The natural man will tend to do natural things, but the spiritual man will do things of spiritual. See, once you are born again, once you are born of God, you will be, just receive Him, believe in His name, believe His name. You will have the right to become children of God. You will have that power to become His children. Once we become His children, then we are heirs of His possessions. Then we will have that inheritance reserved for us. Then the abundant entrance will be served to all of us to enter into the kingdom of God. See, when we wanted to go to, I am from India. I know one place, our President's Palace. The President's Palace has got a very big, wide gates that is opened only for the people. When dignitaries come, that wide gates are open. But when ordinary visitors go, a small wicket gate, through the wicket gate only people will be entering. To enter into the kingdom of God, when we are sinless, pure, as His right royal children, Peter says, abundant entrance will be served. Can we read all that? Can we read that? Can someone help me that where the verse is? First Peter. First Peter, Second Peter. Abundant entrance will be served. Yeah. Second Peter chapter 1 verse 11. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A rich welcome. Second Peter chapter 1 verse 11. A rich welcome. A wide opening of our gates. The abundant entrance into the kingdom of God. But the simple steps are repent of our sins, be born again. Let God do His job. Let Him cleanse you. Let Him take away the stony heart from you. Let Him purify you. Let Him make as His dear children. Then you will be seeing kingdom. Then you will have the abundant entrance into His kingdom. May the Lord help us. The small verses that I shared with you. Sorry, I'm not a seasoned speaker. Whatever God has given, I can give it to you. Pray. Loving, gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, praise you. As a little flock, we gather together in your name, Lord. Lord, anything, search our hearts. If any wickedness, anything that is hindering between you and me, Lord, forgive us. Lord, help us that we may not be a lip-servicing people, but Lord, help us that we wholeheartedly recognize you as a God who has power over everything. There is nothing. Without you, there is nothing created that has been created, Lord. We are all your creation. Have mercy on us. Forgive us from all our shortcomings, sins, trespasses, whatever. Lord, cleanse us from all our iniquities. Take away the idols from us. Lord, once the idols are removed, but it is you and me dwelling. Lord, help us that may have come to that kind of relationship with you. Lord, make us holy as you are holy. Lord, help us that we may see your kingdom of God, enter into that kingdom of God, shameless, but Lord, with your right as your children. Lord, help us, Lord, to that extent. Be with us as we go and lead us throughout this week to come. Lord, let your presence be with us in every matter of our lives. We humble ourselves, submit this simple prayer with faith, that you do great and mighty things beyond our imagination. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.